It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to the game. Five victory edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I feel like I should start this thing off with, let's get ready to rumble as we head home for game six. I'm excited. But again, thank you to our guests for joining us. InnovativeCompanies.com. Thank you for your continued support. It means so much to all of us that you guys believe in our show. We believe in you. We're asking all of our listeners, if you need somebody to take care of you, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, the construction team, heating and cooling team, and the electric team are fired up and ready to take care of you. That's our man, Randy Green, big hockey fan. I know he's excited about the Blues, as are all of our fans. We're going to get right to it. Gary.
What?
Did you see the way they skated off the ice after they won last night? I mean, it looked like they just stole something and they got the hell out of there before somebody could realize what the hell happened. And the best part were the Winnipeg fans looked like they didn't know what the hell happened. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that quick an exit. And it was like, I caught me off guard.
Yeah, I'm like, I wanted to see the excitement level, the players, and I'm like.
And they were just like, I guess the guy with the camera on his shoulder, he's right there at the gate, and they're just like coming right at him. I'm like, check them out. They are just like, we're out.
We're out. Is that a mic drop?
Yeah, three goals in the third. We'll see you later.
Hey, and listen, let's be frank. I know Canada, like certain rinks carry certain traditions and things like that, but the absolute silence and devastation in the crowd last night was unbelievable. And I took a lot of joy in it.
I took huge joy in the 9,000 people outside the street there.
Oh, yeah.
The white noise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shut your white-ass noise.
Yeah, but in Ballpark Village here back in St. Louis, so if you, the baseball town by the ballpark, right?
Listen, for whatever reason, I love watching, like, fan reaction.
Yeah, I do, too.
So I freaking kept going, rewind forward, rewind stuff. So when you guys, if you watch it again, there's one guy he's standing there in a white, old white Blues jersey, no name on the back. He is jumping up and down like he's just won a gazillion dollars. And we like focused in on him yesterday and blew it up. So, buddy, if that's you, tweet us. Go on Facebook, find us. You know who I'm talking about. You were sitting right by the VIP seats, and you were jumping around like mad with no name on the back, and you were the star fan for me last night.
Yeah, and you know, you go from that extreme to, have you seen the videos of Bennington and his reaction both to the game winning goal and when they won the game? You mean
like when he yawned and
it was almost like I hate to say this, but it almost felt like it was his way of going, I told you, I'm not nervous. I'm not excited. I'm here to win hockey. It was amazing. You know what? We think of all the past stuff, right? The ups and downs, the highs and lows. And here's this guy that's running about like this.
Dude,
just even keel.
Confident.
Well, how confident are you?
I'm pretty confident.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we're very fortunate today. We're going to be with Kimby first. And then we're going to be with Jamie.
Both.
And I got to tell you, one of the questions for Jamie has got to be, They're 3-0 with you on the broadcast. There's, and I'm going to ask you, Hendu, there's no way they don't bring him back for game six, is there? I mean, I know this is about the Blues and Bennington and Ryan O'Reilly and Jaden Schwartz and Craig Berube, but come on. You can't deny facts. Rivers is 3-0.
Well, it's all over Twitter. It's all over all the social media. If they don't bring Rivers in,
There might be a march down on Enterprise Center.
There might be a small riot.
Well, we're going to go to Kimby here in a minute. Before we do, I want to remind all of you, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's free. You can listen to the show there as well. Happy to have you guys follow us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Also, Facebook. We got a big push on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Make sure you like our page. Click invite your friends as well. Find our pinned post. It's typically the show. Make sure you like it, comment on it, and share it. That's how we reach more Blues fans, and you guys typically do that, and we do want to thank you for it. As part of our Facebook push, you know that we're doing the contest right now with our friend Noel Buckingham. Buckingham Pest Control, they don't kill penalties, but they do kill pests, and they pass the savings along to you. The contest that went on, they did the winner this morning, folks. Okay, they did the winner this morning. Okay, Evan Smith, make sure you call in. Make sure you do your thing and get your name sent in to us so that we can make sure that we get you taken care of. But get a hold of Buckingham Pest Services. Don't forget, I love it when they do the contest, but you can't know about them if you don't follow us and them on our social media sites. Follow us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show, lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. You can find us there as well. NelsonLandServices.com, thank you for your continued support. 5-star locally rated company with awesome, awesome work, with reasonable prices, great family. Trust them with your work, with the work that you need done. SynergyHockeySkills.com, make sure you guys get signed up. Don't forget, as Jamie says, get yourself on the waiting list. It's kind of a gauge to see if they need to open up more sessions. So don't just say, there's a waiting list, I'm not going to do it. Get your name on there, okay? I promise you, you won't be sorry. Adam Smokehouse, thank you for your continued support. I know Blues fans are enjoying the barbecue during this playoff run. Open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Don't forget the great box lunches that they offer and the catering service that they provide. The specials, the sides, everything. Second to none, folks. St. Louis, Adam Smokehouse, here's your cue. Speaking of cues, is that our cue to bring in the man, the myth, and the legend?
Has to be.
The one, the only, Darren Kimble. What do you say, Kimby?
Oh, an exciting day to be a Blues fan, isn't it, young man?
Well, it'll be more exciting if the home team can pull one out at home. That'd be good, hey?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, yeah. They're always cup half empty.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, let's win it here.
For God's sake.
Listen, all just I'm saying is,
we got a day to relish this victory.
Well, listen, number one, we got a day to get them all out of jail. Like all I said, right, they're all in jail for stealing.
I
got to
shut up. Kimby's the star. Let's go.
Kimby.
What's up?
Kimby, I know, like, you're north. I'm not quite sure where you're at, but you're not here and you're north. Is it any rumors true that you had to go to Winnipeg to bail out the team because they were all arrested for stealing? Because that's the third time, that's their third offense of stealing in Winnipeg.
Yeah, you know what? You got to put it on the goalie, man. God, if you didn't have him, what would this all be about? Would you be done by now, you think?
Well, you know what's funny? Yeah, for sure. I mean, Gary, I let Gary say his piece too, but the fact of the matter is, for me, last night I'm watching that game, and the way it starts, I'm with your buddy Mason Rohr last night, and I was at some baseball stuff.
Mason's not old enough to drink.
Well, no, we weren't there. We were at baseball, and but he had it on his phone, so I had a break, and we're watching. And the way the game started, it's like, oh, my God. And they were they come out. They did exactly what you would expect them to do. And then the game became like a prize fight, and I'm sitting there going, as I'm watching it, I'm going, now all of a sudden, their goalie's going to be the best guy on the team. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is how it's going to go down, huh? So their goalie's going to step up and kind of feed into what they were doing to start these games. And then the third period comes around, and it's like, holy shit, somebody flipped on a switch. But I'll let Gary address where the Blues would be without Bennington.
Well, yeah, I mean, 50. So I think 50 stole the first game.
Okay? For sure.
Yesterday, and Jamie and Federico actually kind of alluded to it. Yesterday, if you'd have just looked at the statistics and not the score, at one point you would have thought the Blues were winning, like early in the game. The Blues had a lot of chances.
They did.
They had more scoring chances. They weren't hitting as much, but as Jamie said, that they were hitting when opportunity presented itself. So, Kimby, I ask you, do the Blues game six, do you think they have to match the physical part of the game, or do you think they play the way they played in that third period, where if the hit's there, take it, but otherwise let's focus on puck possession and getting the puck in the house?
That's a great question, because the hit totals weren't there for the Blues, but yet they didn't run around.
I know.
But I think I answered this the last time on the last show, and when I told Cromes, I said, Cromes, the Blues can't go play Winnipeg's game. They just can't. Right. And if they try to play Winnipeg's game, it's going to get shoved. You know where? Because they're not. That's not them. But they can play in your face. And when you play in your face, that doesn't mean you go run around and hit everybody. But you're putting pressure on them with your guys. And I think that's the way the Blues are, because they're really more of a finesse team than they are a physical team. That's just their makeup, and and I've said that about their makeup before. That's just where they're at. If they want to go play Winnipeg style, they can't do that, guys. They just can't.
No, they can't. But what they can do, and it takes a little bit of physicality to do it, is the forecheck.
Yes.
The forecheck for the Blues through the 60 minutes was pretty good, but in the third, it was exceptional. I think if you look at what the Blues were able to do in the third, and even let's say the last half of the second period, Winnipeg turned the puck over a lot in their own zone.
Well,
and that's strictly because the Blues were like what Kimby's saying in their face.
Amazing you say that, because I was going to ask both of you right now what you really think the percentages are of this. I mean, when Kimby, we've talked about it. Gary, we've talked about when the Blues, when it seems like the puck winds up in our net, what do we always wind up? Either one of two things. Either somebody missed their assignment and some guys left wide open, or a lot of times it typically starts with not being able to get the puck out, which Winnipeg's done a good job of forcing the play on us and not allowing us to get out of our zone at times. The interesting thing was, if you go back and watch the goals in the third period from the Blues, you could point to numerous opportunities for Winnipeg to get the puck out of their end, and they either just didn't do it or they made bad decisions, in my opinion, with the puck. I know that we always think like referees are, they don't call penalties on anybody but the Blues, and anytime we play somebody, we get screwed. I know that we think we're the only team that doesn't get the puck out of our own end, but is this just typically the way the NHL is now, Darren, and with the pressure and people being more aggressive, that typically this is how it works?
Well, I'll ask you before you. I know where you're going here, but who do you guys think has been your best Blues forward? Who do you think it's been?
Man, I
just give me a minute. I think Patty Maroon has, and I was afraid to say it.
Where I'm scared to say this is, I was going to say a guy that I've been on his ass for 3 years, and I think has played great, and now he's not playing top minutes, but I thought Steen's played really well. I mean, the way he's played.
Let's get out there. So let's go back to where I started here. So we're going to go to Patty Maroon, but the playoff hockey is. And you'll see this go look at any game. I'm not Colorado, because McKinnon is unbelievable watching it. But
man, that guy's
Patty stuck. Maroon has been getting involved, and he's yapping, he's throwing all their players off their line, and he's doing his job. And if you watch playoff hockey, guys, and just like Schwartz's goal last night, just like the tying goal, there's a hell of an effort, but you're not going to see this end to end rush and guys beating through the legs and all. It's going to take a lot of work, people in the right spots, getting the lucky bounce. And that's what playoff hockey is all about. So the guys that, like Schwartz's goal, I know he's a finesse hockey player, but he went to the dirty spot and they throw it there. He knocks it out of the air because of the skill that he's got. But he puts himself in that position. Patty Maroon has been putting himself in those positions. He gets in there, he gets nasty. He does the bad, he talks, he gets in their face, throws them off their game. But that's Patty Maroon style. And that's playoff hockey. So you just watch all these goals, like driving the net, when they bitch about the net coming up. But the guy drives to the net to create it. It's not pretty, but he drives there to create all this fiasco that's going on. And then the puck comes right out to the guy, and they score a nice goal. That's how they're doing it. It's not, and that's how the Blues got to play, though. That's the makeup. Even as much as finesse, it's not go running around hitting everybody. It's just being there, putting pressure on people, and getting and creating scoring chances off this Winnipeg D.
Exactly. So you said lucky bounces. So I believe, and I preach to my team, luck's a product of design. if you put yourself in the right spot, good things will happen and lucky things will happen. So luck's a product of design. So yeah, definitely, but it comes from hard work. But let me talk about Pat Maroon for a second and tell me what you see, because I really think that I see this. So you had mentioned, I'm fairly certain it was you, Kimby, mentioned last playoffs with Winnipeg and the Knights, when Bufflin had two guys and was just like dragging two of the Knights around, and Ryan Reeves was on the ice and Bufflin didn't care. He wasn't he wasn't scared. Remember we talked about that? I'm telling you, since you said that, I have purposely recorded, went back and watched. Bufflin doesn't seem to want anything to do with Pat Maroon. I'm not saying he's scared, but he ain't the Bufflin we saw in that series against the Golden Knights. And for whatever reason, when Pat Maroon skates by, he shuts up, calms down.
But you know, I'll tell you, Gary, and I'll guarantee you, this is exactly what has happened, because Bufflin, I'm going to say this, and people are going to say, "Well, no, you're wrong," but Bufflin is a bigger part of the Winnipeg Jets than Patty Maroon is of the St. Louis Blues. And let me expand on that though. Patty Maroon's hockey that he's playing right now is huge for St. Louis. But what I'm trying to say is Bufflin plays all these minutes. He's playing against the top lines. So I guarantee you the coach has gone down the line and said, Patty Maroon is like a third-line player, Buff. You don't need to be playing that kind of game against him. We need you to play that way against Tarasenko and all that. And I'll guarantee you that has been said. So now Bufflin, he don't know whether to shit or get off the pot right now, because he's sitting there going, well, do I play the way I normally play and I get my nose in there and maybe I grab Maroon and just see if I can do anything to him, or do I listen to the coach, which I know has happened. And the coach has probably said, you know, we're going to stay away from him. I want Patty Maroon on the ice. And it's crazy me saying that after I've just said that I believe Patty Maroon's the best player. But that's what the mentality is, because Bufflin is supposed to play the top line. That's what his job is.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you've been on that bench and you've been in that situation. So, yeah, you know. But I would argue to Winnipeg's staff that you're taking Bufflin out of his game. So Pat Maroon, with the amount of ice he is getting – and the fact that he isn't intimidated by Bufflin, he gets right in his face. I think that's a key to not only what you were talking about Maroon's play with the puck and his forecheck, but I think there's also that intangible where Maroon's standing, leaning over the bench, just yelling down the bench at all of them, and especially Bufflin. And Bufflin's been taken out of his game, and I think that's – and the Blues wins in Winnipeg, I've seen Bufflin be a non-factor because it doesn't feel like he can play his game.
I agree with you on that, Gary. And if I was sitting on the Winnipeg bench at some point in time in this series, now I know that it's all been pretty close, but at some point in time in this series, when it had to be early though, it had to be in the first couple games, because the later it gets, you know, you can't be screwing around. You can't take, because it could come down to one turnover, one bad penalty, and that could turn the game. But early on in the series, and I'm not saying this would have happened, but I would have probably been in Bufflin's ear, even though you're playing all that. When Patty Maroon started getting after my superstar, I would have said, okay, we're going to make a statement and we're going to make it one time and then we're going to go back to it, but we're going to put him on his ass and we're going to go take it. And whether he does it or not, I'm not saying he does, but I definitely would have had him go try it out, because I think that's going to take Patty Maroon now. If he gets his ass handed to him, he's really no factor to anybody anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they didn't
go down that road though.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give you a little conspiracy theory. I think they did go down that road and realize Patty Maroon is a badass.
Patty Maroon's not a, and I'm not saying, like, we're not talking top NHL enforcer tough guys here, but the way the game is played now, these guys are so big. Yeah. I don't even know. I've never even seen Bufflin fight, so I don't even know how he fights or nothing. I've watched Patty Maroon fight. He's not stand back, but he's a big guy that's going to maul you. And, you know, I think that's what that's going to be like. So I don't understand why Bufflin wouldn't step up to the plate. Yeah. As far as Winnipeg's go, I'm glad he's not, because I love the way Patty Maroon's playing hockey right now.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with talking about how important Patty Maroon is right now.
On that note, I think, well, I mean, let's be realistic. The first 3 months of the season, we were ready for a lot of wholesale changes. I think one of the guys that we had all but, you know, claimed, well, that didn't work and we won't be re-signing him, was Pat Maroon. On this note, no pun intended. Is there no way, shape, or form that you can let him get out of town now? Because you can't tell me, and I do love this, that I said numerous times early, and you know, I was told I was wrong. The guy was obviously not right at the beginning of the season, and he mm-hmm. seems all right right now. And don't you have to have – I mean, we already are lacking depth in that area of what he does. So how do you let him get out of town now?
Yeah, but you're running – you know, when the season gets over and everything, Chrome's on – the only thing that with Patty Maroon, the first half of the season that he played, if he wasn't a local boy, he probably could have been down the road because that's how bad he was playing. And so now he's playing the way he's supposed to play and the way that he's had success playing. Is it going to help him when he comes into contract and then being a local kid, playing well, you know, having a great playoff? Of course it is. But I don't know where you're not going to get big numbers. They're probably going to ask for a discount again. Do they get it? That's up to Patty Maroon to decide if he wants to go down that road. But, you know, he's a factor. You need him on the team. But especially the way the Blues are makeup is, you know, they don't got a lot of that. So they do need him here. I would hope they would keep him around. But God, he's got to play the way he's playing now. You know, just he can't go into a half season where I don't see, you know, because he's all over St. Louis. He goes to restaurants, people, you know, he's a local boy, man. This is a hell of a story for a St. Louis kid to be running right now. And he's going to ball games, you know, but it's just, so you got to probably keep him around for that reason alone and not, you know.
Well, you're right. And
he looks like he's having a blast right now.
He does. Yeah. He does look like he's having a blast. But one of the things that Maroon's camp has to consider and maybe give the Blues the hometown discount for a 2-year deal or something like that is if Pat Maroon stays, he gets endorsement deals. If he goes somewhere else, he doesn't. I mean, he's on commercials all over.
I'm sure that plays into it.
So that's he can make his money that way.
But he's got his family in here, and you know, in realistics, he pretty well. I think he'd give him a discount when he come here. I think he had other options on the table, and so I think he got a little bit. But him being a local boy, being here, I think he's probably liking life a lot right now, especially since he turned this around where he does. So I think it's a win-win situation. But you know, he's always going to be scrutinized because now people are seeing the way that Patty Maroon's supposed to play, and if he does this, he's fine.
Well, all great points. It strikes me as this sounds to me like a deal where, you know, if they're trying to keep the annual down because of the salary cap and the budget, and they know they have to do this and have to pay this guy and they got to do this, sounds to me like he's a prime candidate to take a little bit less money for an extra year. A guy that plays his role, you would probably trade, you know, $500,000 a year for an extra year or almost maybe quite under one.
But I think he fits the coaching staff too. I think they like him. Yeah. They like his style. He has that kind of attitude. And let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, there's no way Berube doesn't like him.
Holy, what a great call by Berube last night.
Yeah.
Like we're switching the lines up like that in between the first and second, right?
Yeah.
At the intermission. Holy cow, did that pay dividends? Like it was... Huge.
But you know that he has made and I said this before too, Chief's making the calls right now and everything's, you know, going bingo. Every time he makes a call, it's bingo. And you know, he's doing the things right. And he's got the thing with I've said on here many times, he has a feel for this team. Like there's stuff that I see go on that I wonder why, but if you're not in that dressing room and you don't see what the hell's going on, you'll never understand it because there's so much shit that goes into when you're putting together your lineup, who's doing this, why they're doing this, who's playing with who. But Chief has pulled the trigger on a lot of things. And like I said, every time they call a number, Chief's the one calling bingo. He's winning the money right now. So
yeah,
it's so much not even really the number that he's calling, guys. If you really want to know, the players on this team, probably through the respect that Chief has got that he's been there, but not that the career that he has, the type of player that he has, his emotion is on that bench. You can see it every goddamn game. There's a clip coming out of it that he's doing something. So I think the players see themselves in him as far as the emotion stuff goes. So, you know, and if you can get most of your team buying into that shit, usually everyone else will follow. So that's what they've created there in St. Louis right now. The everyone is following Chief. And I don't care what anyone says. I believe he's your leader of your team right now. I think he's doing it. He's going around warm-up. He's doing certain shit that people haven't seen around. He's just doing stuff that's been in hockey, and he's just keeping it real. That's what he's doing. He's keeping it real, and he's got a goaltender.
And he's got Otter standing there with him, supporting him all the every
probably
step
helps.
Of the way. That helps. And but I'm telling you, like, you tell me, can be. I know we've seen this when a coach has an interim tag. They tend to be cautious at times and not fearless in their decisions because, you know, they're trying to prove that they can get that job sometimes. So instead of going overly aggressive, they go the other way. And Coach Berube hasn't shown that. He's been aggressive.
It's a great point.
But in all realistics, let's just think about the National Hockey League right now. You know, back in the day when, and people, again, are going to squawk, but when Mike Keenan was there, the Sutters were there, it was in-your-face kind of coaching. Even the way, that's the way Hitchcock did it. If you screwed up, you got called upon. So a lot of teams, the players nowadays, and I'm not saying that they're, you know, this and that, but they don't like that as much anymore. You get a lot of European guys over here that aren't used to get in-their-face stuff that a lot of them Americans and Canadians grow up with. And you get called on it. And I think Berube has sat here. He is... been true to himself. He has sat in that locker room when things don't go well, you get called out. And so I believe he's sitting there calling them out. And the biggest thing is players are buying into that. You know, does it always work? No, it doesn't. But right now he is the move that they needed to get away from. And I'm not saying Yo was bad or whatever was going on. I'm thinking there are two different mentalities going on. And I think Ruby's throwing it on. He's saying, I buy into you guys, but I'm going to call you out any goddamn time anything's going on. And you're going to have to live with it. And I think they bought into that system.
Yeah, it's refreshing to see for sure.
Well, I don't know. Like, you guys obviously can have your own opinion, but it sure seems to me like, and this is not no slight on Mike Yeo, Ken Hitchcock, you know, the whole thing. It's been a long time since it felt like the team took on the identity of its coach. I think there's been different times where we've wondered what's going on and does so-and-so obviously is in the doghouse and this is going on. I mean, who's doing that? Who's doing that? And, you know, we go back and, you know, it's funny how you get from point A to point B, but I mean, sitting on the show, think about some of the things that we've sat here. Like when he sat Edmondson, he put Edmondson in the press box. He put David Perron in the press box. He played around with this.
Openly bitched at 27.
Yes.
At the end of a period.
Yeah.
Stood on the bench and yelled at him.
So
I think, though, too, so this is behind the scenes, and Riz will know this if you brought it up to Riz, whether he wants to answer it or not, but I've said it on here before, him and Armstrong have had a connection here back when Chief got released, or at some point in time, he was on Team Canada, so they were sort of roaming around together. So they've been working together, so I think Chiefs probably got a little more leeway in the ball game with because he knows Army. He probably went to Army. This is the way I want to run it. And I think there's a bond between the two of them that Armstrong's probably letting him run with it more than maybe what he would have let Yo run with it because of where Chief's been and what he's done in his career. So I think that might have a lot to play in it, where it's given Berube freedom to roll with this damn thing.
Well, I'm going to go with Chromes on this one because I think it's a great point. They definitely have finally had the coach and them on the same page as far as taking the identity of
it
the
seems
coach.
That way
I think Chrome's hit it right on the head because well, they don't have to go
that's
out and drop the gloves
said,
I know I'm listening to but Chrome said it too and I'm
well,
just
my name's not Chrome's it's Kimball
well hey well, we gotta give him credit for something
hey listen last question Kimby because you brought it up so I'm gonna ask you this at different time the whole thing has been so up and down at different times. We have praised Doug Armstrong to the moon about some of the deals he's made, and then we've complained about some of the other, right? Like, it's been so up and down with him. The interesting thing, though, that you said is about the relationship with Berube. So let me ask you this. Do you think a guy like Doug Armstrong said, you know what, we've tried other things. Let's try this. Let's go this route with Berube and let him instill his will on this team because – I don't mean this to be ignorant, but maybe Doug Armstrong, if you looked at some of the video of him up in the press box after some games, maybe he had had enough and said, you know what, I'm just, Craig, take them and put your will on them and bend them till they break.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think if you want me to be real honest with you about Armstrong, I think this fell in his lap is what if you really want to know it. Chief's been there. Let's get that straight. He's been there. They know what's going on. Yo was their guy, so Chief come out of Chicago. He had a great success down there doing with the Wolves and the Miners. So, you know, he's sitting there. There's a friendship there. They're off to a bad season. Armstrong has to make a fucking move because he's pretty well probably been told, you know, you don't look out here. You're going down the goddamn road. So he makes this call to – he goes and gets his friend, goes and gets a guy that he's been working with that probably are on the same wavelength. I will agree with you there. But then Chief – whatever Chief is doing now, that's on Chief what he's doing now. What's on Chief right now, it's not what Armstrong over – maybe he's giving him leeway, but what Chief is getting by is the way that he played the game, the way that – what he brought to the game, how the meanness that he's fucking got to the game, how much he cares about the game, that's what's getting Berube there. And Armstrong's going to reap the rewards of this right now, and that's fine because he brought a lot of these players in here, but Chief sort of gelled it a little differently, and I think he was the final thing to it.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you jumping on here today. I know you're out of town, and God only knows if you're doing family or whatever, but we do appreciate you doing your thing with us. You know, we'll be
thing. Hey, yeah. Real quick, but I'm going to go. But real quick, here's the big thing that you got to do. Because when this next character, if Riz is coming on next.
Oh, yeah, he's following you. Don't you worry.
Because I'm around and I'm seeing what's on Twitter here, and everyone's giving him praise that they got to have his jackass on TV. So whose head's getting bigger right now? Mine or his? I know.
I'll ask him. That'll be the first question I ask him. Has your head officially inflated bigger than Kimball's?
You know, yeah. Now he's calling.
Oh, yeah, now he's calling in today. He can't even make it over because he's so busy. You're
so busy.
Yeah.
I think Ribs, everything is going Ribs' way right now. He's the media darling of St. Louis. people are commenting that he's got his stick on there, and he's showing these shit on the TV, and I'm going, God damn it.
You know what, though? You know what, though? He's gotten hit in the pocketbook because he's had to buy a bunch of new suits.
Yeah, I've noticed that. He has bought
some facials. He's gotten facials.
Speaking of facials. His
hair's probably gotten colored.
Speaking of facials, somebody needs to tweet Fox Sports Midwest and say, Rivs doesn't get his own headshot. Get back up a little bit.
Maybe a little more makeup, maybe some rouge. I don't know. Jump back on the pogo.
The funny thing about Ribs, though, is I told him when he started doing all this stuff, I texted him and I said, I'm pretty sure you won't remember me in a little bit here because you're off to bigger and better things. And he goes, oh, no, Kimby, I'm with you, do or die, and I haven't heard from the motherfucker since.
Well, don't Jesus you worry. Christ. We'll find out. We're going to get an official head size today and see if we have a match. All right, Kimby, get out of here. Go do your family stuff, and we'll see you next week. And hopefully we're talking about the second round, eh?
You betcha, bud. Have
okay.
A good one.
See you, buddy. All right.
See you guys.
The one, the only, and I mean the only, Darren Kimble. He's priceless.
I promise you, I've probably never had more than five conversations where he didn't call me a jackass.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's his favorite word.
I'm
hey,
trying to give you a little bit of credit, and Kimby's jumping in.
You know what, though?
What
it's
I
worth it
said.
For him to say jackass. So, anyway, oh, speaking true. Of jackasses. I'm just kidding. But hey, listen, we appreciate Kimby. Means a lot to us. Special thanks, obviously, to the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com, for their continued support. The name that you know and trust when it comes to your landscaping. 5-star locally rated landscaping company that does tremendous work. Like I say all the time, and Gary's going to perk up here when I remind him that summer's coming. So the lake is calling his name, looking at the boats out, ready to go. If you had to guess, when you drive by all those houses down there, I mean, do you think of Nelson Land Services? Because you know they've done a ton of that work down there.
Yeah, I can tell you which houses it was, and it's not hard because you pass them constantly.
Yeah, so
they're so huge down there.
So as they move into St. Louis here and they're taking care of some of these beautiful homes that are being built around here, if you need any work done, trust me, NelsonLandServices.com is the name you can know and trust. SynergyHockeySkills.com each and every week brings you the man, the myth, and let's face it, he's become a legend, even if it's in his own mind, Jamie Rivers. And as the crowd chants his name as he enters the stadium one more time to bring the Blues to victory, the one, the only, Jamie Rivers, as they cry for him from the rafters. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, your boy was just on. Of course, he leads off. You know, he's a leadoff hitter. I know you're more of a two-hole guy. let me tell you, I can't wait till you hear back. He's got a lot of pleasantries for you. I mean, we're just kidding, but he does have one question for you that needs answered.
Okay.
It's not about the power play. It's not about the line changes. It's not about, he wants to know, as you've become the media darling that you have, if your head size has now grown to where your is bigger than his and the jokes can stop.
No. We have a cutout over here in the wall. It's rather large. We usually back our trucks in there. But that cutout is based off the outline of Kimby's cranium size. And I'm well under the outside of that place. So I'm still flying pretty good. I'm cruising through that. No problem.
Well, let's face it. The Blues Nation is aware, and if they weren't, we made them aware last night, and so did a lot of fans, that the Blues are 3-0 when you're on the broadcast. So can you confirm or deny that you will be part of the broadcast for Game 6?
I can confirm that I will. Yes, I will.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. All right, show's over. Thanks for joining us here at St. Louis Blues Podcast.
There it is.
There it is. Well, hey, that's good news. And then the last thing was, how much money have you spent on new suits lately?
Not a lot, actually.
You're looking good.
Sure. Yeah, that one you Thank had on you. Last yeah. night, that was sharp, Rivs.
You're looking sharp.
Thank you.
I mean, was that your prom tux, maybe? I don't know. I mean, you still fitting into that shit?
I mean, no, that I would not.
You got to tell the guy to back off your face a little, though.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you got a face for podcasting.
Man. Yeah, and that
or not.
That HDTV is not doing you any favors.
You bet. That, but well, Gary asked if you were aware of Botox. I'm just asking. I don't know.
Botox? How about the scars? When they get in there looking at the scars, and then I always take a look and I'm like, somebody probably could have asked me to straighten my nose up.
If you haven't done it by now, I don't think you're doing it, are you?
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, listen. The Blues win that game last night, and I mean, they get off the ice faster than you can imagine. Is that the pure definition of stealing one?
Well, yeah, I think. Well, look, you guys, did you watch the whole game? Okay, and this is what was like surprising about last night is we came out. Right, that first shift was awful.
Yeah.
Everybody puck watching, two defensemen in the corner. Ryan O'Reilly loses track of his guy in front of the net and bang in the back of the net. We're down one Cobb, like 12 seconds into the game or something stupid like that. So, you know, right away you thought, oh, God, this is going to be a bad one here. Like I had people texting me going, oh, boy, 6-0 Jets tonight. You know, like because it's just one of those nights where you felt like this could go really, really bad. And they kind of pull their shit together after that and do a great job at kind of take over the play. Not kind of, they do start out skating the Jets. They're getting better zone time. The Maroon, Bozak, Thomas line did a great job of grinding down low. And then lo and behold, boom, they get goal number two. Now I'm telling you, I'm sitting there going, we're done. Because we just had our pushback and we didn't score. And at the end of our pushback here, they come down and put one in the net. It's just not meant to be tonight. And so, you know, period ends and you think, yeah, 2-0. I mean, you're still in it, but I just didn't feel great about it. Second period turned things quite differently for me. I really felt that the second period was strong. And then for me, the biggest turning point of the game was killing off the 4-minute penalty. You know, you build momentum. Bernie Federko, who's, you know, Hall of Famer, former Blues player, all that stuff, the hockey god here in St. Louis, he's sitting there with me, and we're both talking about how, you know, those are dangerous opportunities for teams. And the Winnipeg Jets have 4-minute power play. Sometimes you're complacent. You think, you know, we'll try this, we'll try that. If it doesn't work, we'll buckle it down for the last part of the penalty kill. Well, that strategy doesn't work a lot of the time. And the Blues just dug their heels in and gritted it out. They took away the center ice pass in the defensive zone. They let Buff fire away. I don't know, guys, that 4-minute penalty kill to me was a sign of things are going to change.
Yeah, Rivs, in regard to that power play, obviously Steen made a great play with his stick. There was some really good play down low as far as taking away that seam pass or getting stick on stick and deflecting shots or whatever. But you tell me, Bufflin When the Blues were in the set up in the Diamond PK, you know, because they were in the, like, you know, the 1-3-1 they run, or a lot of people call it, you know, an umbrella or whatever. But Byfuglien didn't seem to have much space either, because the Blues top guy had taken away a lot of that ice. I just thought it was as good a penalty kill as you'll ever see.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, in dissecting the video before this series started, that's one of the things that, you know, it's a tough power play to play against, because they have so many weapons, and you're going to have to give up something. And so the Blues, ultimately, after the first couple of go-arounds where they weren't successful and Wheeler scored and Laine scored and all that, they've decided to shrink down and, you know, cover the middle of the ice, take away those cross-ice passes, and certainly take away the Blake Wheeler pass to Mark Scheifele. In doing so, they've left Buff, you know, up top kind of by himself. Now, what's fun to notice is that as soon as Buff gets the puck, he's a slow, methodical player. And so he tries to drag it to the middle. And as he's doing that, the Blues have one of their penalty killers slowly creep out towards him. Not fast, not, you know, right, out of control, just slowly creep out, and so that when he's in a spot to where he wants to shoot the puck, there's no shot lane.
Exactly. So
now he's got to go back down to Wheeler or over to Laine, and then that top forward, he just busts his butt back into the shrink in the middle of the zone, and it's just kind of this cat and mouse game that goes on, and that's why you're seeing Buff take shots from up there, but he's missing the net. He's missing just wide. It's just glancing off a shin pad because he's just not seeing a full shot lane. So, yeah, the Blues are doing a heck of a job on the penalty kill. Certainly last night, to me, that was, you know, a great job. And not just that, it was at a time when they needed it the most.
Right.
So that's what's really important to me.
Well, 33 looked frustrated during that 4 minutes because he just didn't have anything. Yeah, I mean, he was a non-factor, and the Blues took that away from him, from Byfuglien, and what a great job.
You know, Rose, I was going to ask you, I was talking to the guys earlier, it seemed like, you know, to this point in the series, if you were going to kind of analyze it, I thought started it off real well. Where would you be without Binnington, right? But, and I've thought that one of the reasons the Blues have been able to hang in this thing is I thought that their goalie hasn't been very good. But last night, he went through a stretch, their goalie, where you're sitting there going, oh, my God, all of a sudden now this guy's going to show up, and you're thinking we're screwed. But the second period is what I wanted to ask you about, because you brought it up, and I noticed it. We didn't score in the second period, but it was almost like, okay, this period kind of brought us back to, okay, we can play our game now a little bit. And Gary touched on it, and we with Kimby, and we looked at it. It seemed like, maybe, and I know as Blues fans, I think we all want them to, like, match Winnipeg's physicality. It's almost like we quit running around and started playing our own game. If the hit was there, we would take it, but we weren't going to take ourselves out of our game just to play physical with Winnipeg. Did you notice that last night?
Well, yeah, and I've been talking about it for a couple of days now. I've been talking about how Braden Schenn, you know, to me, after the first two games, looked exhausted, that he had nothing left in the tank, and it's because he's running around trying to hit everything that moves. And most of the time he was going after Byfuglien, which, I'm sorry, you're just not going to cause any damage to Byfuglien. You're only going to hurt yourself. And so several Blues players took the hits that were available, but didn't go looking for hits that weren't there. And all that means is, you know, you the hit presents itself, you take it. Otherwise you just play your game, try to get good sticks in the lane, try to get the puck back. And to me, they showed a lot more energy. To me, it paid off. Obviously, in the third period, it looked like they had more jump. The Jets felt to me like they were on their heels for most of the third period. So not running around is key. I mean, if you can bully a team in a playoff series, then by all means, trust me, you go out there and you do it. But you also have to recognize a team that you're not going to be able to do that to. And then you got to try and throw something a little different at them, a little change up, and hit them when you can. And then after that, play a real good finesse puck control hockey game.
Well, and the Blues did that, and they were able to do the puck control part of the game because the forecheck, we said it earlier, but the forecheck of the Blues was outstanding last night. When you don't have to go run somebody to be an effective forechecker, you just got to take away their ice and their options. And then essentially, a lot of times that'll cause turnovers. And you guys touched on it last night. I said it with Kimby. Winnipeg had a ton of turnovers yesterday, especially late in that, or especially in the second half of that game. So and in the third period, and that was all because of the Blues' forecheck.
Yeah, listen, guys, I'm telling you, you got Ryan O'Reilly out there, who is probably one of the most tenacious hockey players that wears the blue note. And it's funny because last night he's nominated for the Lady Bing Award, which is, you know, awarded to the most gentlemanly player or the guy who takes the least amount of penalties and things like that. So, but if you, for the eye test, if you watched 20 hockey games that the Blues played, would you ever think that Ryan O'Reilly is a Lady Bing finalist? I wouldn't, because that guy's involved in everything. He's in front of the net. He's in the corners. He's grinding. He's hacking. He's whacking. He's doing all this stuff. So that just shows you that being a good checker doesn't always consist of putting a guy through the boards. A lot of it is being very puck savvy and knowing, you know, where to go and being very strong on your stick. So these are all elements that played really well for the Blues last night. And then, to me, guys, the biggest thing, and I talked about it pregame last night before the TV started there on Fox Sports, was that the net front presence of both these teams was drastically different. You know, the Winnipeg Jets had scored 8 out of 9 goals from inside the house on the Blues, and the Blues had like 3. In this series. So it was very difficult to look at that and not think, wow, the Blues are not quite getting to those dirty areas. And lo and behold, last night, you know, we score all 3 goals from right in front of the net, right inside the house. And I think that for me, if I'm a coach, I'm looking at that going, that's it. Like, that's what we've needed to do. And if I'm Paul Maurice, I'm thinking, damn, they figured it out. And so this is going to be an interesting game coming back here on Saturday, because no home team has won yet in the series for one thing, which is really weird in itself. But also, I feel for the first time in this series that there's a team that has momentum, never mind the 2 wins back and forth on the road victories. This one here last night was a different vibe the way it ended. For a team to come back like that, and to cap it off at the end of the game and doing it the way they did, to me, that created some momentum for the Blues.
Yeah, and so there were some changes made last night in the lines that, you know, it obviously had great great results.
Spit it out.
Results.
Jesus, you're starting to sound like Cromer.
I'm choking in here.
Bread box?
I could spit a sweater.
He's so, reading his phone. Don't let him, TJ. He was reading his phone.
Hold on. So those changes were great last night. So do those changes stay for Saturday or do they go back?
100%.
Okay.
No, you keep those the same. Yeah. I mean, your team goes from scoring 0 goals. You tweak the lines a little bit. You absolutely awaken the giant in Braden Schenn. You know, he gets a goal and an assist as soon as you get him off that top line and put him back at center. So, to me, why would you change that? And then that O'Reilly line, that's the most dominant they've looked all series with David Perron on that left wing. I mean, they controlled the puck down low. They had a lot of plays. And, you know, I just loved it. I loved the look of it. And I really liked the look of the power play. And I talked about this yesterday. I can't remember where, if it was on the radio or on Fox Sports, but the look of the power play for the Blues has been very stagnant, you know, just stale almost, where you know where everybody's going to be and they don't really move around a lot and this is what you get. And well, last night they changed it up. Last night they rotated some guys around. You know, David Perron ended up down in front of the net. Ryan O'Reilly got shifted to the middle and Braden Schenn took over what was David Perron's spot on that half wall. And what a look. I mean, you know, you've got Braden Schenn now, who's not afraid to drop that one-timer. You got David Perron, who's a pain in the ass to deal with on a regular basis. Now he's in front of the net battling away. And because they moved it around and changed the personnel places, it created a goal. Because Braden Schenn rips that shot. David Perron battles in front. Ryan O'Reilly picks up the change and puts it in. So, you know, not only did they change the line in that work, but they changed the look of the power play in that work. So Craig Berube right now is a solid case of making himself look like a genius here right now.
Riz, I got to take you back and ask you to recreate how you're like, what went through your mind. So I'm going to take you back last night, about 13 minutes, 13:45, whatever. Oscar Sundquist, who I will say one thing, all the praise that we've given him, what this guy does, he just drives the net. He just says, I'm going to get the puck and I'm going to find a way to get it to the front of the net. I think he's done that all year long. I've been more impressed with that than I have the goals and stuff like that. He makes a great play. The puck squirts out to Shen. It goes in as the net comes off. And I think the whole Blues fan base, like, sucks in all the air in the room for about 3 seconds. I got to know, because we're all sitting there going, oh, my God, what's the rule? What's the rule? And we can't speak. We can't think. I got to know what you were thinking the second it happened.
The second it happened, I went, that's a goal. Right away.
That confident. You were that confident.
No, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because the rule states that if the net is moved, but the player is going to score anyways, if it has no effect on the goal going in or out of the net, then the goal will stand. So as soon as that happened, first of all, the green part of the moorings was still hanging on by a thread in, you know, the little hole that they rest in. So I thought to myself, it's not actually off until that's, you know, free and clear of everything. And second of all, that puck was headed in no matter what, guys. So I knew it was going to be a quick review. I knew that the goal would count. And although I did, I will admit that for a second I thought, well, you know what? This is the Blues. It may work again.
Yeah, for those
and
of
that
us,
was where I was going. Right.
For those of us who've said for years that the NHL hates the Blues, yeah, we were all sweating.
Hey, can we? Okay, so that you're taking this where I want to go. Can we get off it now? I mean, does this make up, like I'm going to take this really deep. Does this make up for Judge Houston? Does this make up for, but I'm just kidding. But seriously though, for Blues fans everywhere, you know, that's what went through all of our minds. Like, there's no way we're cursed. There's no way they're going to allow this, but gosh darn it. I'm sitting there in my mind going, well, at least we got a power play coming. At least we got a power play coming. So
yeah. A lot, I heard a lot of that. Well, it's a power play anyways. I was like, well, fuck that. I'll take the goal. No, I think if there's anything to pull out of this for the Blues fans, it's, and I don't want to be premature with this, but I think it's maybe a sign that, you know, maybe we're going to get some bounces now. Maybe this is our year to get a couple of bounces go our way. And, you know, maybe it's not retribution for all those years of being shit on Blues fans or Blues hockey teams, but maybe, just maybe, that was a little turning point.
Last thing I want to ask you about before we go, a couple of things that might speak to the mindset of both player and team. I jokingly said at the beginning when me and Gary were talking that, and I think it was neat, the way when they won, there was no like huge, like, I mean, they got off the ice almost like, let's get on the plane and get home. I mean, it was amazing. But I'm sure you've seen it. Have you seen a couple of the videos that people took of Binnington, both when they scored the third goal and then when they won? I mean, not an ounce of emotion. Not an ounce. I mean, when they scored the third goal, he smacked his stick on the goal and just kind of skated over. Like he didn't throw his arms up. There was no excitement. When the game was over, there was no, I mean, it was turn, go, off. Almost like.
They mic dropped.
Almost like I'm not screwing around here. It was amazing to me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because we got to talk to Jamie McLennan yesterday for a little bit. Blues goalie. And he said that Jordan Binnington, the way he carries himself, and he goes, a lot of young goalies are like that in the league now, but he's like, if you turn on the TV at any point and you watch the goalie only, don't look at the score. He's like, guys like Jordan Binnington, you watch him and you think to yourself, well, he's pitching a shutout right now. Like, look at this guy, you know? And he goes, then you notice, well, maybe he's ahead 5-0, or maybe he's behind 5-0, but the goalie doesn't change. Nothing changes. He doesn't look scrambly. He doesn't look rattled. He's very focused. The saves stay the same. He's like, this is the new age goalie with their mental toughness where it doesn't matter what the score is. They look the same. And so for Jordan Binnington to not get overly emotional, to me, it goes right back. And like, it literally, as I was watching it, I thought of what Noodles had told me. And I'm like, If I turn the TV on right now, I'd have no idea that the Blues just scored what could be the game-winning goal in the last 15 seconds of the game. To me, it just looks like they scored in the first period and Jordan Binnington's not impressed.
Yeah, like in game 50 or something. It was
It's awesome. I mean, I like it. I like watching a goalie who's calm. And the rest of the team can freak out. I
want my freak goalie out.
Freak out. Hey, Rivs, so you mentioned it earlier. 90's up for Lady Bang and Selke, which is...
And King Clancy.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I tried to... you know, I was on my phone, so I was trying to see... I don't know if I've ever seen a Lady Bang Selke combination, because that Selke's defensive player of the year. You got to be tenacious to be a defensive player of the year. It and doesn't necessarily go along
doing
with
so
Lady
without
Bang
without taking a bunch of penalties.
That's my point.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How good is this guy?
Well, that was my point earlier when I talked about it. Was it's like, you know, usually your Lady Bang is, you know, somebody who's maybe not as involved as they could be or whatnot, still put up points, but, you know, he's not out there on the penalty kill or things like that. But no, Ryan O'Reilly is a specimen,
man,
of a hockey player this year. And, you know, unfortunately, he's up against some really, really stiff competition in all of those categories. The Selke Trophy, he's up against the four-time reigning Selke Trophy winner in Patrice Bergeron.
Right.
So that's going to be
pretty
tough.
Good player.
He's had a good year as well, again. And then in the Lady Bing, he's up against Sasha Barkov there from Florida, who had 97 points, 20 points more than Ryan O'Reilly did. I think he only had 8 penalty minutes and O'Reilly had 12. So some tough competition, but the bottom line of all this is that you've got a guy now that isn't named Tarasenko that's up for league awards, and type of awards that you know, that leaders have their names mentioned in.
Absolutely.
So, well, it's all good stuff.
Well, before we go, I have to say one thing to remind everybody how you've risen to this stardom. I want to remind everybody that it was Jamie Rivers before this season who started that said, you know, the guy I've been impressed with is Ryan O'Reilly. The work ethic, everything he's done in these preseason skates leads me to believe this was a absolute home run. So kudos to you for that. It looks like you called that one. But I got to ask you before you go. So can you've confirmed on air that you will be part of the Game 6 broadcast, which is great.
Yeah.
Can you confirm nor deny that you were added to the Game 6 broadcast because you're 3-0, or was it already planned out?
there was some... let's see here.
Come on.
There were some back channel things going on, but I do know that it had been brought up that the team had been fortunate with me as part of the broadcast. And after I was added for last night's game, about an hour later, email or phone call came in rather saying that we've added you for Saturday.
Hey, if that doesn't prove you guys might be the most superstitious group out there, then I don't know what does. But hey, listen, I guarantee you, Gary will agree with me. Kimby will agree with me as much as he hates to see your mug on TV every day. I know. The reality of it is, I don't think any of us care as long as it works. So go do your job Saturday night. Okay. Bring home. Let's close this thing out. All right. And let's get her done. And, whatever we do, let's not blow your winning streak here.
No, I'm just going to do, just like when I was a player, I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to chip pucks out, chip pucks in, make sure I don't make any big mistakes.
Stay within yourself. Stay within yourself. Stay within no dumb
be
penalties.
Guy.
Yeah,
get coffee for the boys.
Yeah, keep your stick down on Bernie and take it easy on the rest of the guys. But, hey, listen, man, I know how busy you are. I'm sure you're getting pulled in 1,000 different directions today, but thank you for joining us, of course. And, boy, how about the call, too, from Noel Buckingham giving away his Game 6 tickets this morning on Facebook Live? I mean, but here's the thing I know about Noel. There's no way this guy's not going to find his way into the arena for Game 6. Or it's just,
he's
not
got to, right?
Yeah, so good stuff, man. Hey, listen, appreciate you. And I guess for all of our fans out there, know that, you know, the way we do this in the playoffs is we'll be communicating behind the scenes and doing the show when we think it probably, you know, best benefits. So I plan on chatting with you over the weekend, and we'll hear all our listeners next week.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. The one, the only, Jamie Rivers. Kimby's not going to be happy to find out that the hat size has not increased enough to take care of that. But
Kimball's living in a fantasy world if he thinks that head's ever getting as big as his.
I agree. Well, listen, Hindu, thanks for coming in today, man. I appreciate it greatly. To all of our listeners out there, one last time, special thanks to our partners, Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, Residential, Commercial, Industrial. He's got you covered. NelsonLandServices.com, the great landscaping company, the name you know and trust. Lots of people in this community, good friends with them through the amateur hockey community. Trust me, folks, if you're going to have some landscaping done, give them an opportunity. You won't be sorry that you did. That's NelsonLandServices.com. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse. They bring us the Live for Minner Arena segment. I know my friend Dennis Minner was on that roller coaster ride with the rest of us last night. But if you want to get on a constant ride when it comes to barbecue, it's Adam's Smokehouse. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Don't forget they're located on Watson Road. They take care of all of your catering needs. They can also help you with box lunches. And, of course, the specials. Folks, the specials. You will not be sorry. Get down to Adam's Smokehouse today. Tell them your friends at Blues NHL Podcast suggested it. Let's hear what Dennis has for us as I'm very curious if he wants to discuss the roller coaster ride of last night.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from an arena. And holy, holy crap. I am sitting here. I'm in freaking shock. Hey, we're brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. Go check them out. Holy crap, go check them out tomorrow. Walk in, scream, yell, let's go Blues. You get 10% off your bill. My gosh. Let's be real honest. I pretty much had given up, like a lot of people. I actually stopped watching the game for about 5 minutes in the first period. I was so ticked off. And then I thought, no, I can't do this. I've got to watch this entire game. Still going into the third period, I had no hope. And our defense, dude, it sucked first period. And then all of a sudden, everything started coming together. It looked good. But, man, the Jets are just a freaking good team. And it still looked like they had our number. And then what in the world? What in the world did I just watch? Shin, that's the first playoff goal he has scored, and this was his 20th playoff game. He stepped up. I literally posted a tweet that said, all-star type players, this is the time they make the plays. And all of a sudden, Shin, out of freaking nowhere, goes in, scores a goal, and then we all know what happened just a few minutes later. Well, oh, my God. I can't tell you how many tweets I read tonight with people saying there is no way we should re-sign Schwartz. It's time for him to go. And then who gets the freaking game-winning goal with 15 seconds? A non-existent player, the ghost of James Schwartz, comes in. I don't even know what to say. I am freaking stoked out of my mind. I am rambling. I've thrown away my notes, man. I had no clue what I was going to talk about when that buzzer sounded. But guys, Binnington is a freaking genius. I cannot believe. I was listening to Luke today on the radio and on the fast lane, and he is actually Binnington's my head just went blank, his manager or whatever, and just talking about the calmness that this kid has at 25 years old to just step in to the NHL and to be in positions like this. And guys, here's the thing, I'm not going to go on and bash our previous goalie. But our previous goalie was on the ice all the time, and it looked like flips and flops, and that's not saying anything negative against him. It's just a comparison difference. Binnington, when he lays down on the ice, there is a clear freaking meaning for it. he stretches out in yoga positions that are going to be there's going to have to be new yoga positions named the Bennington. If we have any yoga instructors, would you let me know and please give Minner Arena credit? But I can't comprehend the saves that he makes. He never seems rattled, and that's the thing, no matter what's going on in the game. Guys, I am watching, they're showing the recap again with everyone just attacking Schwartz, and the grin on his face and the stun on Hellebuck's face. Oh, my gosh, guys. You know what? I cannot wait until Saturday. I can't wait. So that's it, man. Cannot wait to party with everybody this Saturday. Man, let's do it. All we need is one more out of the next two. Let's come back home. Let's do it in front of the fans. Let's do it for Charles Glenn. Guys, don't forget we're brought to you by Adam's Smokehouse. Go in there day of a game, the day after a game. Give them a Let's Go Blue. Show them your ticket stub, and you're going to get 10% off. Holy freaking crap. Let's go, Blues.
Good stuff as always. Thank you, Dennis. We appreciate it. And let's bring home a winner in game six for sure. Speaking of game six, special thanks to our friends at Buckingham Pest Control. Noel and his wonderful wife gave away their tickets for game six to a lucky fan of both Blues NHL podcast and a fan of Buckingham Pest Control. How can you not be a fan? They kill all the pests. They don't kill penalties, but they pass the savings along to you. I know Gary smiles every time we say that. He thinks it's funny. You know, you wouldn't think it's funny if you really needed them to take care of some pests in your house, and that's the name you guys should give an opportunity for the business. Buckingham Pest Control, congratulations to Evan Smith, the winner of the tickets. Make sure you're contacting them any way you can, social media. If for some reason you struggle there, you can get a hold of us too through our social media sites. But congratulations to Evan Smith. I know you're going to bring home a winner. Great
Did
stuff
you say
as
Evan
always.
Smith?
Evan Smith.
The Evan Smith?
Do you know the Evan Smith? I don't know. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm willing to bet there might be one or two Evan Smiths out there. So that'll be good stuff. That's a common name, I'd say. But Evan Smith, if you're out there, there's going to be like 100 guys going, I'm Evan Smith. And they might be right. So, hey, listen, that nothing would surprise me. Like I said, if Noel's involved, it's got to be good. So enjoy your time at the game. For all of our Blues fans out there, make sure you check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Find us on Twitter, at STL Blues Podcast. Hit us up on Facebook as well, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our page. Make sure you guys check out our pinned post and get involved in them. Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast Show. Don't forget lineupmediagroup.fm, where you can find us as well. Home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.